Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And it's been quite some time since we've had our next guest, Dinesh D'Souza, with us. He's director of a new documentary that is really taking the country by storm. It's called 2,000 Mules. And it has its own website, the number 2,000mules.com. And before we talk to Dinesh, let's see the trailer of the program, of the documentary.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Let me say it again.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
I'm agnostic on this question, and I am awaiting more information.
If I believed the president were a Nazi, I might steal an election.
Bold accusations require bold evidence, and they haven't seen it.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
Can we meet? I've been working with Greg Phillips. He has a deep background in election intelligence.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules.
What is a mule?
Person picking up ballots and running them to the drop boxes.
This is not grandma out walking her dog. Bad backgrounds, bad reputations. They are interested in one thing, that's money.
And in no shape, in no way, in no time is that legal.
This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
What you're about to see is disturbing.
So this is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't we all vote at 1 o'clock in the morning?
On one night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
I call it the Mexican mafia, seriously, because they work like that.
This is jaw-dropping.
What you showed is frightening.
It's just sickening to me.
Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made a difference.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable. And that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Without free and fair elections, we are not a democracy. We are a criminal cartel masquerading as a democracy.
2,000 Mules.
All right, 2,000mules.com is the website, and we are honored to have with us today the director of that documentary. It's been quite some time since we talked to him, but we welcome him back, Dinesh D'Souza. Good to see you again, friend. How are you?
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you. Boy, quite the documentary. By the way, where can people still see it?
Well, it's on uncancelable platforms, as I sometimes say. I haven't put it on places like Apple iTunes or Amazon Prime. So if you go to the website, 2000mules.com, it'll show you where you can rent it or stream it or digitally download it or buy DVDs.
Okay. You obviously tapped into something. How did you come across the necessary leads to go down this road?
Well, we've been friends, my wife and I, with the two principals, Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, who run this organization called True the Vote. It's based in Texas, been around more than a decade, and they've compiled a very responsible record. And interestingly, in the immediate aftermath of the 2020 election, when there was a lot of talk about fraud, these guys were dead silent. And so we called them and we said, hey, what's up? How come you're not kind of weighing in on all these, you know, sometimes outlandish claims about fraud? And they said, well, we think that some of these guys are barking up the wrong tree. We think there's a different way to sort of investigate the subject. And it was many months later that we sat down with them, my wife Debbie and I, at our house, and kind of reviewed some of the evidence that this group had come up with. And I realized right away I was looking at a caliber of evidence that was original and compelling and nothing like nothing else that I'd seen before.
And primarily this evidence is gathered through the technology of cell phones, correct?
It's two independent lines of evidence. One is that it is cell phone geo-tracking inside of our phones or apps, and the apps allow our location to be pinpointed with reasonable accuracy to within a few feet. So you can use a cell phone to track somebody's movements, and in this case, it's used to track these so-called mules. A mule is a kind of paid ballot trafficker. The other type of evidence is video evidence. And again, this is not video that some guy took like from his car or truck. This is the official surveillance video of the states themselves, the state of Georgia, the state of Arizona, the state of Michigan, and so on. Amazingly, although there's millions of minutes of that video, no one evidently reviewed it. But putting the cell phone evidence and the video evidence together, you have a very interesting case.
So. How did you obtain the video evidence from a Secretary of State that didn't want you to see it?
Well, the simple answer is you have a right as a member of the public to demand it. And so True the Vote, which is a kind of election integrity group, filed multiple requests for this evidence. Remember, the taxpayers are paying for this video. You have a right to see it. They can drag their feet, and they did drag their feet for many, many months. By the way, some states took no video. Other states, turned cameras off. Other states, you had cameras, but they're pointing in the wrong direction. So the quality of the video is very uneven. But even so, we have a decent amount of video, particularly from Georgia. The cell phone geo-tracking we have in all the different places because True the Vote got a grant. They were able to spend almost $2 million to buy the cell phone evidence, 10 trillion things of it. In the greater Atlanta area, in Phoenix, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, as well as in the greater Philadelphia area.
Okay, you put together really an impressive panel of people to review what you just showed there, the trailer, and some went in skeptical, some came out pretty much convinced. And those are very notable people. What do you think is going to come of this long term?
Well, the interesting thing about those Salem radio hosts, people like Sebastian Gorka, Charlie Kirk, is that Salem Media funded this movie. And they're like, we want to put our hosts in the movie. And initially I was like, I don't really want a panel of people pontificating about what do they know about this topic. So what I decided to do was kind of write them into the plot of the movie, by which I mean I brought them together knowing nothing about what this movie was about. We had an initial discussion about what they thought. Then I showed them the evidence from True the Vote, filming their spontaneous reaction, and at the end, I asked them to sum up what they believed at the end. So, interestingly, their reactions are completely unrehearsed, and they add to the suspense and interest of the movie, and many of them raise questions like, what about this, what about that, which are exactly the questions that the people sitting watching the movie in the audience have.
All right, so where do we go from here, Dinesh? You obviously put together some very compelling evidence. Will it ever be reviewed by people that can make a difference on this?
I think so. Now, the Republicans are the party of the slowpokes, and so they kind of get around to it one by one by one. But look, I fully expect if Republicans take the House and the Senate that there'll be hearings on this issue of election integrity in which this film and the evidence in the film will be center stage. I also think the film provides a rational foundation for these voter integrity laws that require things like voter ID, signature matching, electronic surveillance of all the drop boxes. There's also law enforcement. Law enforcement business is tricky because a lot of the research is done in Democratic areas where you're not going to have the Democratic Secretary of State or the Democratic Attorney General, jump into action. But in Yuma, Arizona, the sheriff there, Leon Wilmot, has announced a big ballot trafficking investigation. He has raided one of the so-called vote stash houses. And so there could be some prosecutorial progress in Arizona.
Arizona was called early. It shocked a lot of people. Even the host of Fox News, when it was being announced, were kind of going, are we sure we're doing this right? Do you think there was some pressure going on there?
I think that without a doubt, somebody at the very top of Fox News and quite possibly Rupert Murdoch himself made that call. The guy who made it on the ground, a fellow named Chris Steigerwalt, there's no way he would have had the authority to call a swing state with barely a few percentage of the vote in a state that ended up going for Biden by about 10,000 votes. I mean, this behavior is downright insane. And so I think it's a black mark on Fox News. It reflects the kind of, it's a very bad call that they made. Even the media that was rooting incessantly for Biden didn't dare to make that kind of a call. I suspect it's part of the bitter politics between Murdoch and Trump.
Okay, part of the January 6th hearing we're hearing today and all the arguments going on with that incredible hearing is that the president was given advice that the election was over, he lost, and it was legitimate. Do you think there was some real sharp division that night in the White House?
I'm quite sure there was. I also know for a fact that Trump has always believed that this election was stolen. And I speak somewhat with inside information because our film team rented out the Mar-a-Lago facility for our red carpet premiere. And because, of course, that's Trump's home, we decided in fairness we should show him the movie. So my wife and I went down to Mar-a-Lago. We screened the movie in a small screening room with Trump. And he kept jumping up and saying, in effect, I knew it. I knew it. So here's a guy who's believed from the beginning that this election was stolen. Therefore, it's kind of comical and just preposterous for the January 6th committee. He knew that he lost, but he was still trying to overturn the election. Nonsense. He never believed that he lost. Sure, some people may have told him he lost. Quite frankly, I think those people didn't even know what they were talking about. People like Bill Barr, who never sort of got out of his couch to go investigate the issue of voter fraud and has said nonsensical things about 2,000 mules. So I think that Trump got really bad advice from those people. The few people that told him that the election was stolen may not have had the evidence, but it turns out in retrospect that they were right.
In the meantime, I can't help but think that this film, this documentary, let's assume for a moment the Republicans do take control of the Congress coming up in a couple of months, and things start to go the other direction and there's investigation. I can't help but think that this documentary, Dinesh, would become lawsuit material for Trump.
It certainly would be because the documentary has real evidence. Look, this geo-tracking evidence is used all the time today by the Defense Department to pinpoint targets. It's used by law enforcement to catch criminals and locate them to within a few feet. In the January 6th documents, if you look at the charging documents that are submitted at trial, they'll say things like Mr. X was 10 feet outside the Capitol door, or Mr. Y was 15 feet approximately inside of the Capitol door. He went inside the building, and the phone is being used as a kind of electronic DNA or signature to establish the location. So look, if it's good enough for the CDC, it's good enough for law enforcement, it's good enough for Uber. How does an Uber driver know to drive right up to you when there are seven people standing on the sidewalk? This technology is quite accurate. It's certainly adequate for this purpose. So there is a really powerful case here. This is not the same thing as saying things like, gee, Trump won the bellwether county, so I'm not sure how he lost the election. Or look, here's a dead guy who voted over here, or a guy who moved out of town who voted over there. No, this is a completely different caliber of evidence, which I think, if handled properly, could form the basis of lawsuits and could form the basis also of a review of the election itself.
Okay, so what would that accomplish today if they reviewed the election and found and took all your evidence and other evidence and compiled the fact that it was a fraud?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. And I say that because we are in completely constitutionally uncharted territory. Let me put it this way. The Constitution says that there's an election and then the electors vote and it's ratified by both houses of Congress and the president is then inaugurated. And then the Constitution goes silent. It basically says, look, if you don't like what the president's doing, you can impeach him, but it doesn't offer any other remedy. So the Constitution and the framers do not seem to have anticipated what happens if it emerges. Let's just say that beyond a doubt, the guy who got in as a result of cheating by his own side. That's why I say we are kind of in uncharted waters.
All right, I know you're short on time. What's your outlook for 2022 and then 2024 for election integrity?
Well, I think 2024 is too far out. In 2022, I think it's really important to make sure that that there are eyes, surveillance on every drop box. That's in the election rules now, but many places didn't really follow it, and they used the pretext of COVID. Oh, well, we didn't just get around to it. Well, there's no excuse for not getting around to it this time. And I also think politically there's a tsunami building against Biden, and even the mules I don't think can save him at this point.
All right, but so really the pressure here is on the individual Secretary of States to qualify the voter, and that's not happening.
No, it all starts with corrupt voter rolls. You know, my daughter goes to college in New Hampshire. Then she votes over there. Then she leaves New Hampshire and goes and gets a job in New York. But she's still on the voter rolls in New Hampshire. And so when they mail out ballots, her ballot goes in effect to her dorm or to her P.O. box, even though she's gone. So think of what an opportunity that presents to fraudsters. If they can get a hold of that ballot, it has her name, it has her registered address. All they would need is some sort of scrawl to match her signature, and they can vote on her behalf.
Are you still gathering evidence?
Through the Vote, the organization that we partner with in the movie is doing that. In fact, they're doing all kinds of stuff, and they've even talked about releasing their entire body of data on the internet sometime this summer. So, you know, in a sense, a movie is a truth-telling enterprise, and I move on. I'm writing a book about the topic, but then I'm going to move on and do a movie on something else. But I think what we've done is put forward enough for various activist groups and Republican groups and conservative groups to recognize that these are the things that now need to be done.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I know you're tight. We value it greatly. I look forward to meeting up with you quite often, especially with your new work ahead. Let me say to our viewers, you can go to 2000, that's the number 2000mules.com. That is the website, and it'll tell you there where you can stream it or watch the trailer. And that's the number 2000mules.com. God bless you, my friend. Keep up the good work.
Hey, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. And join us next Thursday and every Thursday to catch the latest episode. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.